Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kentucky for Cannabis and Americans for Cannabis chapter. I'd like to refer you to the Americans for Cannabis website at AmericansForCannabis.com, and you can find Kentucky for Cannabis on that website, as well as Facebook and Blog Talk. And today's show, I'd like to discuss this issue of repeal and more about the difference between the repeal movement and the legalization movement. And what puts these two movements in separate categories, and you know that, and what has got this movement divided? Because this movement, the cannabis movement, has been divided on many levels. And repeal is just one of them. So I thought I'd talk about that today. I haven't had time to schedule any guests in advance because I've been dealing with computer issues and trying to get back online without a computer. Right now I'm working from a makeshift setup that is very limited, and I want to explain this to people. My computer is down. When I start doing these shows with Robert, I was calling in, doing them by phone, and he was doing it by his computer. Now his computer is down, and so I've managed to get my hands on a pretty rough laptop that I can't type on much. I can do some typing on it, but the buttons have been destroyed, and it's in rough shape, and I've managed to plug in a USB keyboard to it, but that keyboard, for some reason, doesn't want to work either, and I'd say it's because of the shape this laptop's in, and this is a loaner. Someone's loaned it to me, and so I'm only able to do what I'm able to do with it, which means I can't edit anything hardly. I can't even highlight something and cut and paste it. So I'm very limited as to what I can do. This is an issue, and I'm trying to overcome this, just like Robert's been put out because his internet and phone connection's been disconnected, and he's got to overcome that. So, and there's a lot of us out there in this movement whose equipment keeps going down, and that, you know, our computers keep getting crashed, our signals keep getting crashed, whatever. It happens a lot. And I want to explain, you know, I hope that you all bear with us while we work through all these technical problems that we're having. Seems like every time we get anything set up, whether it's a website or a magazine or a radio program, and we all start trying to work together, all of a sudden, you know, equipment goes, computers crash, systems crash, and then suddenly we're not able to work as a team anymore. And this has happened to me repeatedly throughout the years. And I find it very interesting that it always seems to happen at just the right time. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is the semantics or the linguistics, language that is being used to describe or verbalize what this movement's about, or what the goals of this movement are, or what the legislation will be, or what it will say. And that is a lot about what has got this movement divided, is the language being used, and therefore, you know, you may have many cannabis warriors out there, but those warriors are finding themselves unable to work with one another due to semantics or language or the words being used or their position or agenda within it all. And so, so what are we talking about here when I say agendas or semantics? Well, you know, for one, this cannabis movement or marijuana movement has been divided. And right there is an example. Cannabis, marijuana, hemp. Semantics. Words. All three words mean the same thing. Even though there are people in this movement who would like you to believe they have different meanings, they are all, you know, hemp, cannabis, marijuana, all one and the same plant. The only thing that separates marijuana from hemp, and it really doesn't separate it because hemp is hemp, and cannabis sativa is cannabis sativa, is the THC levels. And what changes THC levels? Well, that is done by the sun. The closer you plant, the closer to the sun hemp is planted, the higher the THC level. Well, why is that? Well, because the THC level is the sunscreen of the plant. And THC protects the plant from drought. And so if the sun gets hot, the THC level goes up. Why? To protect the plant from drought. Well, here's where our issue becomes important. In the repeal issue, we want to protect this plant from GMO mutation and corporate ownership for all its uses, and that means we want to protect its hemp uses, industrial hemp uses, we want to protect its medical marijuana use, we want to protect its uses, nutritious food, and we feel we can do this best by protecting this plant from GMO mutation. Why do they want to genetically mutate the cannabis plant? Well, because its THC levels increase the closer you plant it to the sun. So if we want to legalize industrial hemp in the United States, well, that might be a problem if we're going to plant industrial hemp in California, or California, where the sun is hotter year-round. We might not be able to guarantee an industrial hemp crop if that industrial hemp crop is based on THC levels. And, you know, according to our government, they want to keep hemp at a very low level of THC. That way they can define it as hemp and keep it separate from cannabis, marijuana, the medicine. And for those in this movement who are fighting for industrial hemp, that might be a very good thing. But for those of us in this movement who want to consume this plant for food or who want to consume it as medicine, we might not see that as a very good thing because cannabis, marijuana, hemp is pollinated on the wind. And when you genetically mutate seed, just like we did with our corn, I can't tell you how many farmers there were that lost their land because they were sued from Monsanto because they were growing Monsanto's GMO corn in their field, and they didn't plant it there. It blew on the wind, but then Monsanto sued them for using their seed. And, you know, farmers committed suicide. Farmers lost their farms. They lost farms that had been in their families for generations. And that's why they committed suicide. So when we think of GMO cannabis, we think of it as a threat to our food supply. We think of it as a threat to our medical supply. And we think of it as a threat to this plant because it is the plant sunscreen. The THC is the plant sunscreen. So GMO this plant to where it has a THC stopper gene to keep it from becoming marijuana in the field to guarantee it always stays hemp. Well, that will turn every plant in the field into hemp as it blows on the wind. It'll turn it all into GMO hemp. If you have medical plants or food plants in the field or in the woods, they may become pollinated. They may become hemp. Eventually, all the seed becomes GMO'd. So, this is one of the main reasons why this repeal movement has come to a head, that, you know, we have separated ourselves from the legalization groups and orgs to say we want this plant protected. We believe legalization only hands it further over to the corporation. When you look at the language being used to write the legislation that is legalizing this plant, and we want that language halted. We want it stopped. We want it examined. We want it to change in a manner that begins to protect this plant from the corporation and from GMO mutation and ownership by patent. And so it comes down to the divided sides of this issue and their agendas, whether the agenda be industrial hemp or medical marijuana or hemp for consumption for food supply or hemp for oil or whatever. When we start dividing these subjects and topics and trying to divide this plant and trying to turn this plant into three different plants or whatever, when it's just one plant and it only depends on how it grows. And the law is not stupid, people. You know, all these activists want to label it industrial hemp or whatever because they think the feds will fall in. The feds called it the Marijuana Tax Act for a reason. They know that no matter how you try to tell them it's three different plants or two different plants or whatever, they know it's the same plant and it all comes down to how much sun it receives. They've been growing it for years themselves, people. You know, while they give it to federal patients, and that's another thing. And this is another issue that we have with what we call legal lies. You know, they want you to believe they don't do this, they don't do that. The federal government wants you to believe there's no federal use of cannabis being allowed, blah, blah, blah. Yet, they continue to use it for research. They continue to use it and allow it to be, and you know, it's been signed into federal law that, you know, veterans can use it in states where they have laws that protect them. They have, they've continued to use it to patent. And let me point this out, that the United States holds a legal U.S. patent on medical cannabis, which notes that it can be used to cure cancer. That's U.S. patent number 6630507, titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants and Neuroprotectants, which is assigned to the United States of America as it is represented by the Department of Health and Human Services. While they deny that there is any proof or evidence that cannabis is a medicine or that there is a cure for cancer, they continue to use it through taxation in the 1937 Tax Act, while they continue to draw taxes from those people in legal states who have opened businesses and filed taxes, whether it be in California or Colorado or Michigan or wherever, that these dispensaries have set up. People are now filing taxes on the income they receive from cannabis, and the federal government uses that tax money, even though they want to tell you they approve no use of cannabis whatsoever. It's linguistics, people. It's semantics. They do this over here. They say they do that over there. It's all wrapped up in the words. But the fact of the matter is they have regulated it through the plant through the federal government so that it can be provided to, like I said, our veterans who live in legal states. So that's federal government regulation, and that's the federal government recognizing the medical legitimacy of this plant. So, which one is it? The feds either do recognize it has medical use as they continue to give it to the federal patients they're still giving it to, as they continue to take your tax money in states where you paid to have your fair use, or it's not a medicine, and they're lying to everyone, and we're lying to everyone, and whatever. We all know the truth about this plant. This plant is the highest protein food there is on the face of the earth. It has all the alpha and omegas in it. It's the only plant with the amount of protein in it that has all the alpha and omega vitamins in it that you can eat for food and milk every day. And if you did that, you probably wouldn't need its medicine. As I've said in previous shows, we are an endocannabinoid system-based system. Our bodies are endocannabinoid-based, and they want to take this food away from you that produces these cannabinoids naturally, that mirrors us as human beings. As pointed out on another show, we're talking about a plant that grows in male and female that is cannabinoid-based like us. It mirrors us, people, and yet we want to eradicate it. And we want to own it, and we want to genetically mutate it. No, I don't think so. We at Americans for Cannabis, we at Kentucky for Cannabis, we want to protect this plant, and yet we want to utilize it fully from our gardens. We want this plant protected in our gardens and protected in our families so we can feed our families this good food so that our families don't ever need its medicine. And people say, well, y'all are crazy, man. You can't expect to have cannabis free in your garden without regulation. Why not? It's a food, just like tomatoes, just like potatoes. We can plant the potatoes we want in our garden. We can plant the tomatoes we want in our garden. Yes, we might have to buy some of our seed from you. I realize that'll probably happen. We'll probably have to buy some of our seed from them eventually. Hopefully that'll never happen. But, okay, so tax the seed you sell me after it gets to the marketplace. Tax the corporation who wants to take advantage of this plant to the fullest. I'm not against you taxing corporations. I'm not against you taxing sales of products on this plant once they've been manufactured. I am against you taxing the square footage of my garden space in which I use to grow this plant. I am against this plant being taxed in my garden. You know, it's one thing if I go buy seeds and you tax those seeds before I plant them in my garden. But it's another thing for you to tax my garden space when I already pay property tax, when I've already paid sales tax. You know, all this double taxation needs to end. Tax, 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 tax us to death and tax us after we're gone. I don't agree with that. And there's many Americans out there that do not agree with that. And Kentucky for Cannabis does not agree with this plant being taxed in our garden or regulated to us on how we can feed our families with it. You want to regulate it after it gets to the marketplace, that's fine. We regulate bananas when they get to the marketplace. We regulate potatoes when they get to the marketplace. But you're not going to regulate it in my garden. I realize the United States government is trying to regulate everyone's gardens right now and what we can plant in our garden or how big of a garden we can plant or, you know, how much food we can store in our basement or whatever. But it's none of your business what's in my private garden for my family. Now, if you can prove that I'm using it for anything other than me and my family, it might be your business, but other than that, it's not your business. What happens in my home, in my household, on my property, between me and my family? Unless you can prove I'm harming someone. We want repeal, people. We want repeal of prohibition. We think it was a bad law to begin with. We want to remove the bad law. When you pass more laws on top of a bad law, you're setting precedents. It sets precedents. It says you thought the first law was correct. We don't believe the first law was correct at all. We believe it was a mistake. We want to repeal this mistake that's been made, where these legalization people believe, I guess, that it was correct to prohibit cannabis, that it needs to be regulated, that it's dangerous, you know, if it's not regulated. Is that crazy? We're talking about one of the safest plants on the face of the earth. You can't get intoxicated from cannabis. There's no toxic levels to it. You know, everybody wants to keep talking about, well, you know, the euphoria, you know, it could be dangerous to kids. Or since when has a kid ever overdosed on marijuana? I'd like for one person to show me one case where that's ever happened. It's never happened. If kids are dying from marijuana, it's at the ends of the police, in the hands of the police, because they're being shot, because somebody smelled pot, and somebody called the police, and a neighbor called police or whatever, and the police go barreling in, guns drawn, and just check it out, people. Do the research. Kids die every day at the hands of a cop that shot him, because the plant is prohibited, but not because it's legal. And not because they're using it, because legal's not a good word. First of all, let me say that cannabis is a controlled substance, not an illegal substance. When you get busted for cannabis, you get busted for possession of a controlled substance. Controlled by what? Controlled by tax. The Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, which then regulated it to the FDA, which then regulated it to DEA, who then controlled it by the Controlled Substance Act. So it's not illegal, it's just controlled through tax. And when it was taxed, it was recognized as legal, right? Because you can't tax an illegal substance. So cannabis has already been legalized, and it was already regulated through the FDA, which is what all these people who claim they want legalization want. They want taxation and regulation. And we got that, and that's where we're at today, and now we're trying to fix it. And they want say, we want more taxation and regulation. Well, we in the repeal movement don't have any problem with that, as long as you're taxing and regulating it to the corporations and not the people. In fact, we, the people, want to tax and regulate it to the corporation and tell them how they can use our plant instead of them telling us how we can use it. That's where this movement separates from the rest. We have every intentions of protecting this plant. It's about semantics, and I really haven't had time to go into all the semantics. And I can see now that we have less than, right at a minute left. So at this time, I'm going to say, if you want to discuss this topic, give me a call. I'm Reverend Mary, or Mary Thomas Spears. Mary Thomas Spears, and my number is area code 270-904-0279. I might screen those calls. The number to call into this show is 718-664-9048. And we will be taking calls next show, which is tomorrow morning. Today I didn't take any calls. Check us out at AmericansForCannabis.com. Check us out. We're Kentucky for Cannabis. We're on the main site there. You also find us on Facebook. And check out my site, designingyourworld.com. It's a work in progress, people, and it needs some work still. I've got a lot of work left to put there, and right now I can't do anything as far as editing goes on websites or anything. But I'm doing my best to get all that taken care of so I can get back online and maybe get some work done that I'd started. I want to thank everyone for joining me.